Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Bad Bachelor by Stephanie London, narrated by Kendall Taylor. So bad, it's good. Save that for your Liam Neeson movie marathon. Bad has no place in your love life. With more ways than ever to meet your future Mr. Right, you'd think the women of New York would be at an advantage. But trying to find a soulmate in a world of Instagram filters and mobile dating apps is tough. Expectations are high, and attention spans are low. It's all too easy for your date to check out potential matches while you're in the restroom. He could be swiping right on a dozen other ladies in the vicinity. Chances are, he'll be out the door in less time than it took to read your bio. So how can you sort the good guys from the serial bachelors? That's where the Bad Bachelors app comes to the rescue. Our app is designed for the women of New York to have their say. Going on a date? Simply search your bachelor's name to see what his previous dates have said about him. How do reviews work? Well, it's no different from leaving a review for your favorite restaurant on Yelp. Bad Bachelors uses a 5-star rating system and allows users to share more detail in the review section. We'll guide you through the process with review prompts such as, did he turn up on time? And did he want to know more about you? To ensure that your review provides useful information. We respect that our users may not feel comfortable posting reviews under their real names, so we do allow anonymous reviews. However, only verified users can add a bachelor to the Bad Bachelors database. Your profile must be linked to identifying information, such as a Facebook profile or phone number. If your date moves to the bedroom, that's great. However, we ask that you keep your reviews PG-13. We don't need to recreate 50 Shades of Grey here. User Midtown Molly had her best date in weeks, thanks to reading a positive review of her workplace crush. The review spurred me to ask him out, and he said yes. We went for dinner and talked nonstop until he dropped me off at home. I'm already excited for date number two. If you date a stand-up guy and it doesn't work out, don't be afraid to let your fellow ladies know he's a potential catch. Remember, even if he didn't knock your socks off, that doesn't mean he's not happy ever after material for someone else. We're in the business of helping you make informed choices, and we rely on our users to get quality data. So, next time you date, don't forget to rate. Tomorrow, we'll be posting a profile spotlight on our Bad Bachelor. This one should be avoided at all costs. I don't want to spoil anything before our post goes live, but let's just say he's our worst-rated bachelor yet. With love, your dating information warrior, helping the single women of New York since 2018. Chapter 1. Reed McMahon is a master manipulator. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it. Don't believe a word he says. Misguided in Manhattan. Sweat beaded along Darcy Greer's brow as she smoothed her shaking hands over the full skirt of her wedding gown, her fingertips catching on the subtle pattern embroidered into the silk. Long sleeves masked her tattoos, turning her into a picture-perfect bride. Her mother had been so pleased when she'd chosen this dress because the priest wasn't too thrilled with her ink. Truthfully, Darcy hadn't been thrilled with looking like a cake topper, but she also hadn't wanted any drama to mar her big day. Besides, it was only a dress. I can't believe I'm doing this. She sucked in a breath and surveyed the picturesque blue sky with clouds so white and fluffy they looked like globs of marshmallow. A flawless day. The photographer had assured her, all the better to capture this important moment. Empty space stretched out from all sides, making her feel small, like a blip on the surface of the earth. A smile tugged at her lips, and she tilted her face up, letting her eyes flutter shut as a cool breeze drifted past. Just breathe. Her best friends stood before her, looking immaculate in their bridesmaid gowns. They each wore a color that matched their personality. Remy, the ballerina, in soft pink, and the ever-practical Annie in a classic royal blue. These women had gotten her through the toughest times in her life. They'd made sure she was here today in one piece, finally ready to release her old life.
All right, ladies.
The photographer raised his camera, the big lens pointing in Darcy's direction, unblinking like a cyclops' eye.
Everyone, get into position. I want this first shot to be perfect.
Darcy's heart skipped a beat. This was it. Her last opportunity to put a stop to this madness. You okay? Annie mouthed. Darcy nodded. She would be okay. She would be okay. She would be okay. Pop! The first shot hit her straight in the ribs and stung like hell. She gasped, her hands clutching at the spot where crimson bled across the white silk. The camera clicked, a moment captured. The pain was more than she'd expected, but there was something deeply satisfying about seeing the splash of color against the ugly, white silk. Pop! 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 Wow! Guys, give me a minute. Darcy backed up, dodging a green balloon sailing through the air. And don't look so happy about being able to throw stuff at me. She reached for a water balloon of her own and took aim. Remy's soft pink dress in her sights. Her throw was off and the balloon burst against the ground, splashing orange paint over Remy's feet and legs. Now you look like a beautiful sunset, Annie said, hiking up her long skirt in one hand and reaching for a ketchup bottle filled with red paint. She ran over to Darcy and squeezed a stream of it all over the sweetheart neckline of her wedding dress. Ah, much better. I look like I'm starring in a remake of Psycho. Darcy glanced down at herself. Red paint dripped along her body, running in rivulets across the silk. I need more color.
Coming right up.
Remy grabbed a small paint can and a tiny brush. Watch me unleash my artistic side. She splashed purple paint in a flamboyant arc, turning Darcy from a horror movie extra into something out of a modern art exhibition.
This is wonderful, ladies.
The photographer clicked and clicked, capturing Darcy's shock as Annie paint-bombed her out of nowhere.
These photos will be amazing.
A high-pitched shriek pierced the air as Annie turned on Remy and the two girls battled it out with their respective weapons. Soon, the elegant dresses looked like a finger-painting lesson gone horribly wrong. Splotches of orange and green peppered Remy's blonde hair. They decided against using the proper paintball guns on advisement of the venue owner. Safety first and all that jazz. Getting shot at close range apparently stung like a bitch, so they'd spent a painstaking hour filling up water balloons and other containers before the shoot. Darcy picked up another ketchup bottle filled with paint and used it to make a sad face on the bottom of her gown. I hate this goddamn dress. Annie covered her mouth in a failed attempt to stifle her laughter, but instead smeared paint across her cheek. Sorry, Darcy. I know you only picked it to keep your mom happy. You're right. She frowned. The whole damn wedding was more about her than it was about me. Annie slung an arm around Darcy's shoulder. Come on! This is your anti-anniversary party. Your thank God I got out while I could bash. It's time to celebrate, not mope about your family issues. That dress is ugly as hell anyway. The beginnings of a smile tugged at Darcy's lips. It is ugly, isn't it? Fugly, even. Seriously, I didn't have the heart to say anything because you know I love your mom. Annie wrinkled her nose. But I wouldn't even bury my cat in that thing. Out of nowhere, a balloon burst between them. Hey! Two for the price of one, Remy crowed, her Australian accent amplified as she raised her voice and pumped her fist in the air. You beauty! We were having a moment, Darcy said in mock protest.
Yeah, and now it's a rainbow moment.
Remy toyed with two fresh water balloons, a cheeky grin on her face. Do it, Annie said. I dare you.
Do you double dare me?
Remy walked toward them, her arms swinging in that dainty, fluid way of hers. Annie tried to make a break for it, but Darcy wrapped her arms around her waist and held on tight.
Get her, Remy!
The balloons exploded and both girls screamed. By the time they'd run out of things to throw at one another, Darcy was famished. The owner of the venue, which was normally an outdoor paintball arena, had kindly allowed them space to conduct the photo shoot and let them make use of the open-air cafeteria as well. She glanced at the picnic table full of cupcakes and let her eyes settle on the top tier of what would have been her wedding cake. Apparently, you were supposed to save it for the first anniversary. But what if the wedding never happened? Surely that was an excuse not to keep it. Except her mother had. She'd saved it when the rest of the cake had been thrown into the trash. Now, a year after Darcy should have been married, her mother had foisted it on her like some kind of cruel joke. It said a lot about their relationship. The offending lump of cake, covered in thick Italian-style marzipan icing, sat in the middle of the table. Poking at it with her forefinger as if it were an alien species, Darcy considered her options. Eat it or toss it. Let me show you how to deal with this. Remy picked up the cake and signaled for the photographer to follow her. She hurled it into the air, and it landed with a satisfying splat on the ground a few feet away. See? She said. No more devil kike. Annie clapped her hands together. Now we can get this party started. This party was something that had taken a lot of convincing. Darcy had wanted to let the day come and go without ceremony or recognition. She would have been perfectly happy to sit in her sweats and eat ice cream straight out of the tub like a Bridget Jones cliché. But she was the kind of woman who could admit when she was wrong. The trash the dress party had proved far more entertaining than she'd first anticipated. Plus, it made for an interesting catch-up, rather than their usual wine and vent sessions. Every week, the three friends got together to unload their latest funny stories and problems on one another. It had been a tradition since high school, when Darcy and Annie would meet to do their homework together. Translation, talk about boys and update their MySpace profiles, or whatever else 16-year-old girls did before smartphones. Remy had completed their trio when she'd moved to New York from Australia a few years ago and ended up being Darcy's roommate. These women had glued her back together and kept her that way since her wedding had been canceled the previous year. These look delicious, Annie announced, as she poured over the tiered cake stand filled with cupcakes supplied by Remy. I wish I could bake like you. I wish I could bake something without setting the oven on fire, Darcy quipped as she washed her hands at the small outdoor sink, scrubbing at the green paint under her fingernails. But we all can't be Martha Stewart, can we? Just don't tell my family that I'm using sugar and wheat flour. They'll think I'm poisoning you, she cringed. Everything in their house is hemp-infused, plant-based bullshit. Well, I can't cook or bake, Annie said. According to my mother, that means I'll make a terrible wife. Ugh! Darcy forced down a wave of nausea. Nothing could recall her lunch faster than the thought of motherly expectations. Please don't use the W word around me. Mom's been trying to set me up with her friend's sons, literally any and all of them. I don't think she cares who it is so long as I get a ring on my finger. Did you remind her what happened the last time she set you up with someone? Annie snorted. Or won't she take any responsibility for that? She dropped off the top layer of the wedding cake as a reminder that I should be trying to find the one. And she had the audacity to tell me she hadn't given up on me. Like I'm some 100-year-old spinster who's about to be eaten by a house full of cats. Annie blinked. Right. If only she could see you now, Remy grinned. The photographer hovered around them, snapping pictures of what must have been a hilarious scene. Three women in full hair and makeup, wearing paint-splattered dresses, and eating cupcakes. What a sight.
Maybe she meant it as an encouragement, Remy said. The message couldn't have been clearer. It's been 1 year, and she wants to know why I'm not out there trying to find a man so I can fulfill my purpose as a woman and start making babies. Screw that, Remy wrinkled her nose. Annie opened the champagne with a pop and poured the fizzling liquid into each of the 3 champagne flutes. She measured precisely, ensuring each glass was equal. Here's to you, Darcy. Happy anti-anniversary. She handed the glasses out and held up her own. Congratulations on dodging a bullet. Still feels like I got shot. She shook her head as their flutes all met in a cacophony of clinks. Better to have loved and lost than to have gone down the aisle with the wrong guy, Remy said, sipping her drink. Here's to moving on. There was a chorus of hear, hear from the girls as they clinked their glasses again. Nothing like a new fling to take your mind off the old one, Remy added, gesturing with her champagne. Forget about relationships and have a little fun. You've earned it. It sounded so simple when she said it like that. But Darcy was out of practice. Besides, there was this little, tiny problem that had developed since the almost wedding. The very few times she'd gotten close to getting physical with a guy, her nerves had kicked in and she'd lost all sense of excitement. Was sex anxiety a thing? Because that was probably what she had. I don't know. Darcy sunk her teeth into the pile of frosting on her cupcake. Think about it. If you quit a bad job, you would start looking for another one, right? Annie said. You don't stop working because you had one bad job. Remy snorted. Only you would compare a relationship to a job. I'm serious. Getting a job and dating aren't all that different. You have to assess each other to see if you're a good fit. And then you have a trial period to see if it's going to work out. Do you make your dates sign a contract, too? Darcy teased. I'll tell you when I have enough time to go on a date, Annie sighed. Like in the year 2045. Remy peeled back the brightly colored paper on another cupcake. As ridiculous as that comparison is, she has a point. One bad experience doesn't mean a lifetime without sex. It's perfectly acceptable for men to enjoy casual sex, so why not us too? The group murmured their agreement. Even the photographer nodded emphatically. Have you been with anyone since Ben? Annie asked. The girls looked at her curiously. Darcy hadn't spoken much about the demise of her engagement or her failed attempts to put herself back into the dating scene. She'd always been the most private one of the group. Growing up with a mother who was emotional to the extreme had made her develop a natural resistance to showing her feelings. Maybe that's why you never saw it coming. You didn't ask enough questions or pay attention to the right things. The only kind of sex I've had in the last year has been with me, myself, and I. Darcy sighed. Oh, a threesome. Remy winked. Kinky. And even that hasn't been too spectacular, Darcy said. Not for a lack of trying, mind you. I've had a few dates, but any time the guy even tries to kiss me, I freeze up. Annie reached out and patted her knee. You're stressed. That's totally understandable. What do I have to be stressed about? I love my job. I'm healthy. I have a great family. Annie raised a brow. Okay, not great, but they're decent human beings, most of the time. Well, barring the cake incident. Finding your fiancé making out with someone the day before your wedding doesn't have to ruin everything. Single is the new black, right? I love you, Darcy, but this hashtag forever alone thing is stopping right now. She set her drink and half-eaten dessert down on the table. You need to break the dry spell. After the split, getting back into the dating scene had gradually moved from the too hard basket to the never ever again basket. Except there had been this little voice in the back of her mind lately, whispering dangerous thoughts to her, asking questions she wasn't sure how to answer, like whether she was happy being alone, or if she'd be able to watch her beautiful friends walk down the aisle
and be okay missing out on that experience herself. Despite hating her mother's uber-conservative ways, deep down, she still wanted the white picket fence dream. A wedding, a loving husband, even the babies. But all that required her to date, and that meant facing up to the fact that she had no idea how to date. She'd given up her chance of learning those lessons when she'd fallen head over Doc Martens at 19. Now, 8 years later, she was starting from scratch with no skills and no real experience to draw on. Casual sex might sound like a piece of cake to some people, but the idea of dating was terrifying enough. As for casual sex, Darcy had never had a one-night stand. Ever. "I wouldn't even know where to go to meet someone," she muttered. "And I deleted Tinder the second I started getting dick pics. Not to mention that I'm so out of practice, even if I could make it past a first date. I can't flirt. I can't do witty banter. I can't play the temptress, so how am I supposed to have casual sex?" And that wasn't even the hard part. Being able to trust someone again and not be paranoid that they were secretly living a double life. Now that was the real challenge. Being celibate is so much easier. Hey, if that's what you want, I support you 100%. Annie reached out and squeezed her shoulder. "Sigh the word and we won't mention the dieting thing ever again," Remy chimed in. Darcy scratched at a fleck of dried paint on her dress. "I do want to get back out there," she admitted, "but I'm scared I'll pick the wrong guy again." "Then you need to find a guy who's trustworthy," Annie said, pausing to sip her drink. "Someone who wants the same things you do." "And how would I find a guy like that? It's not like I can trust what they write in their dating profiles."
"You could try the Bad Bachelors app," the photographer piped up.
All eyes turned to the young man in the vest and bow tie. A heavy-looking camera hung from a thick strap around his neck.
"I read about it the other day."
Darcy shook her head. "What on earth is the Bad Bachelors app?" "Oh!" Remy bounced up and down in her seat. "I heard about this. Apparently, someone started this app that has all the single guys in New York listed, and you can write and review them." "You're kidding." Darcy blinked.
"So it's Yelp for guys? Or Uber, you know, go for a ride and then rate your driver," Remy said,
and Annie choked on a mouthful of cupcake. Darcy shook her head and downed the rest of her champagne, immediately reaching for the bottle to refill her glass.
"You're making this up."
"I swear I'm not."
"Does anyone have the app?" Remy asked, but the girls shook their heads.
"Give me your phone."
Within minutes, they downloaded the app and were browsing through profile after profile of gorgeous single New York men. Each profile had at least one photo, a brief description, and a star rating. It looked as though the app was fairly new, but there were already a ton of reviews posted. "These are hilarious," Remy said, swiping across the screen.
"Look at this one. Trenton Connor, 38, doctor.
The only thing that's large about this guy is his ego and his credit limit.
Let me read." Annie grabbed the phone and swiped a few times. "Jacob Morales, 39, technology executive. Things were going well until he rolled over and fell asleep right after sex. Then his maid came into the bedroom to shoo me out of his apartment."
Darcy laughed. "Oh my God."
"This one's nice." Annie held the phone in one hand and her drink in the other. "Darren Montgomery, 31, IT manager and entrepreneur. Darren is a lovely guy, very sweet and kind, romantic, but we didn't have much in common. I hope he finds the right woman for him. I'm going to mark this one as a favorite for you."
"Gimme."
Remy grabbed the phone back.
"What about this guy?"
"Alexei Petrov, 30, investor. This guy will take you on the ride of your life."
"Oh no.
Looks like he might have been dating a few women at once. Next."
Darcy pressed her fingertips to her temples.
"No cheaters, please."
"Oh dear."
Remy turned the phone around to show a photo of the most beautiful man Darcy had ever seen.
And yes, beautiful was the right way to describe him. He was so perfect-looking, and yet there was a hardness to him, like a marble statue, beautiful and cold and unyielding. Reed McMahon, 32, marketing and PR executive. Reed McMahon is a master manipulator. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it. Don't believe a word he says. He goes through women like candy. Darcy wrinkled her nose. He sounds like one to stay away from. Look, you can sort by highest and lowest rated. She laughed. This guy is the lowest rated, number one on the Bad Bachelor's list. 50 women have rated him already. Serial dieter. Not interested in commitment. Colder than an iceberg. Looks like he always has a different woman on his arm. What about the good guys? Are there any decent men on that thing? Darcy sighed. I feel like I'm searching for a unicorn. We'll find the right guy. Remy's eyes sparkled at the thought of playing virtual matchmaker. Why don't we swipe through and put a list together? A list will make it easier. I like that idea, Annie said. Remy rolled her eyes. Of course you do. Say I hypothetically agree this is a good idea, Darcy said, drumming her fingers on the edge of the table. What am I supposed to do? Walk up to these guys and say, hey, you've got a 5-star rating. Let's date. It's called recon. Annie grinned, and Darcy could see the cogs turning in her mind. We'll go through the top-rated list and help you narrow down some options. You never know. With 6 degrees of separation and all that, you might have a friend in common who can introduce you. But at least you know up front that the guy is a decent person, unlike if you met someone randomly at a bar. Darcy rolled the idea around in her head. Maybe this wasn't such a terrible idea. A lower-risk, research-led type of dating. As a librarian, that appealed to her. She could get all the information she needed up front and avoid the dangers associated with spontaneous dating. Besides, what harm could a little research do? Chapter 2. When something seems too good to be true, it usually is. Reed McMahon is not the guy you want him to be. Little Miss Midtown. Every muscle in Reed McMahon's body tensed, anticipating, assessing. He shifted his weight, moving his hips as he prepared to unleash all his frustration into a single, powerful swing. He'd had the kind of week that made him want to pound something into oblivion. With a white-knuckled grip, he pulled back and focused on his target until the rest of the world fell away. The baseball whizzed past him, and his bat connected with air. Reed swore under his breath and reset his position. His team, Smokin' Bases, was one run down in the final inning with two outs. Losing to a group of Columbia graduates who loved to fist bump one another was not an option. The week from hell would not be made worse by a crushing ball game defeat. Reed had to make this swing count. The pitcher went through his routine of rubbing the ball in his gloveless hand and stretching his neck from side to side. He drew his arm back and sent the next ball sailing in Reed's direction. It was perfect, fast, but perfect. He swung, and the bat made a satisfying crack as it sent the ball flying through the air, eventually bouncing in the empty pocket between right and center field. He took off, pumping his legs as fast as he could toward first base. An outfielder scooped the ball up and threw it hard, but he overthrew it, and it grazed the top of the first baseman's glove, giving Smokin' Bases enough time to get a runner across home plate. That tied them. "Keep going!" the third base coach shouted as their captain, Gabriel, legged it down the home stretch. Reed ran for second, but the other team recovered, and their second baseman landed the tag perfectly across Reed's midsection. "Out!" the pitcher called. But Gabriel had already made it home, and the run counted. Reed's hit had given them a one-run victory. The rest of his team whooped and jogged onto the field to shake hands with the opposition. "I knew you'd save us," his teammate in
Sample complete. Ready to continue?